I'm reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37, the coming of the Son of Man. In the days after that time of trouble, the sun will grow dark, the moon will no longer shine, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send the angels out to the four corners of the earth to gather God's chosen people from one end of the world to the other. Let the fig tree teach you a lesson. When its branches become green and tender and it starts putting out leaves, you know the summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the time is near ready to begin. Remember that all things will happen before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows, however, when that day or hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows. Be on watch, be alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It will be like a man who goes away from home on a journey and leaves his servants in charge, after giving to each one his own work to do and after telling the doorkeeper to keep watch.
Thank you for that reading. In the name of God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, Amen. I'll begin by telling you something which hopefully isn't true. I have no particular reason to believe it is true, but it's a story which has been disseminated widely on the internet. It relates to a time some years ago, not a large number of years ago, but large enough that you won't be able to identify any of the people involved. And it concerns the then British ambassador to Washington. He was asked by a journalist on the Washington Post what he wanted for Christmas. And he replied, "I don't want anything for Christmas. I just want to carry on and do my job." But the journalist persisted. And eventually, after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, the ambassador gave his answer. Imagine his horror on Christmas Eve when he read in the Washington Post the following news item. A journalist of the Washington Post had been contacting the ambassadors in a number of the embassies, asking what they wanted for Christmas. The French ambassador had said that more than anything else, he wanted world peace. The Russian ambassador, and this is well before the Ukrainian war, announced that he wanted to see global justice. And the British ambassador said he wanted a small box of chocolates. I use the story not to try and decry our Foreign Office, but to point out that Christmas and the preparation for Christmas, and therefore Advent, is a personal matter for each of us. There is no one type of Advent that is right for all of us. We all have our different concerns, our different worries and anxieties, our different views of how we should prepare. But I wanted to give a few words of caution. And If I have preached here in Advent before, then you will almost certainly have heard me make a comment about a phrase which I find all too popular among people at this time of the year. And that phrase is, Christmas isn't Christmas without. After the without, you can fill in whatever you feel is essential. But I do find it alarming, this view that for Christmas to be Christmas, it has to in some sense be perfect. Just to give you a few examples of some of the things I've heard, and I do have a much longer list, but I won't bore you with it all. Christmas isn't Christmas without family, without friends, without turkey, without sprouts, without mince pies, without a tree, with lights. And even within the church community, there are certain things that in different churches are seen as essential to Christmas, but in reality, of course, to Advent. In many churches, it can be a crib. And for many Christians, it's carols. Indeed, often a specific carol. I remember hearing one churchgoer broadcasting on Radio York that Christmas isn't Christmas without O Come All Ye Faithful. Perhaps a more Methodist version of this would be Without Hark the Herald Angels Sing. To an extent, we were probably forced during the COVID years to accept that Christmas couldn't be perfect, but was still Christmas. Christmas without family became a necessity for many, rather than a statement of what was not Christmas. Christmas is not about all of these things. Put simply, Christmas is about Christ. And Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jesus. And in many ways, that is really the only essential of Christmas. But there are other things which we probably find helpful at Christmas time. And I thought it was probably worth thinking about some of the real necessities of Christmas as we think about Advent. One thing to bear in mind about the Christmas isn't Christmas without is it does actually create a lot of unhappiness. I have known people be very unhappy on Christmas Day because the wrong sort of gravy was used. I have known people feel that Christmas was spoilt by the absence of mince pies. Or by the fact that they were sitting in a living room for most of the day with a tree that wasn't real. But this idea of seeking after a perfect Christmas is, of course, in very marked contrast with that first Christmas, when Mary and Joseph weren't at home. They'd been searching for a room in an inn, only to find they were all taken. And Mary was forced to give birth to Jesus in a stable. Hardly Christmas isn't Christmas without. Very much Christmas is without. We shouldn't expect a perfect Christmas. And for those who do, sadly the reality is the slightest thing wrong turns their Christmas into a Christmas of misery, where it should be of joy. But I said that it was worth looking for some of the clues in Advent what really are the important features of our Christmas. Now, the traditional themes of Christmas, of Advent rather, are rather different to the modern day themes that we saw projected at the start of our service. First Sunday, the theme is the people of God. And perhaps worth bearing in mind that actually Christmas would be very strange without the people of God. Without the people there to celebrate Christmas, what would Christmas be like? Perhaps it's not just Jesus which is needed for Christmas. The people of God have to be there too. Jesus on his own does not make a Christmas. On the second Sunday in Advent in the traditional calendar, the theme is the prophets. The prophets proclaiming the need to turn back to God, an awareness of the need for repentance, an awareness of the need to seek out God's way. And actually, we think about it, that's something else that we need at Christmas, if Christmas is to mean anything to us. We need to be aware of our need for Jesus. Jesus isn't just someone who was born in a stable about slightly over 2,000 years ago. Jesus is someone that we need in our lives. And we need to be aware of that need for Christmas to be meaningful to us. The third Sunday of Advent, the traditional theme, John the Baptist, with his direction and call to God, call to the people of God, to repentance, in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. And if we're to receive Jesus into our lives, do we not need that call to repentance? Is that call not a part of our Christmas preparation? A part of our Christmas on the day? The fourth Sunday in Advent is typically dedicated traditionally to Mary and her obedience and to the birth of Jesus. Again, it's the birth of Jesus that we celebrate, not just the life, not just the sufferings, not even just the resurrection, but the birth of Jesus. And so, for our Christmas to be complete, we need the people of God. We need the awareness of our own need for God. We need the desire for repentance. We need to acknowledge the birth of Jesus. And finally, on Christmas Day itself, we need to recognise the life of Jesus and the meaning of that life to us. But I'm racing ahead and stealing material from those who will be preaching for the next three Sundays and on Christmas Day. Our focus today, traditionally, would be the people of God. And with the modern interpretation, on the hope which we experience for the future, for a future in Christ, and for the coming again of Jesus. Now, we heard three different readings this morning. And reading them in isolation, they seem to present three very different pictures. Our first reader commented on his surprise at the choice of this reading for Advent Sunday. A reading from Isaiah, talking about a people straying from God, led away from God's way by false or wrongful teaching, turning away through selfishness. A people in need of guidance, in need of God's light, in need of the ability to do something, to turn back to God. Contrast that with what Paul had to say in our second reading. Now, I am aware that there are dangers with this reading, because Paul is expressing thanks, essentially thanks for the faithfulness of the people of Corinth. And that shows a totally different light to the people to whom Isaiah was speaking, talking about their waywardness and their straying. Paul begins his letter expressing thanks for the faithfulness of the people he's writing to. God's people being faithful. Now, I said there is a danger in this reading, because one of the things I only discovered about this recently is that actually expressing thanks was a standard literary style in letter writing at Paul's time. So there may be a tendency for him to, shall we say, over-egg the faithfulness that they displayed. And certainly, if we go on reading the rest of the letter, he wasn't entirely praiseworthy of them in all aspects of their faith. But he did praise their faithfulness. And in spite of it being a convention, I think we probably still have to accept that he would not have used those words had he not felt them to be true. And then in Mark's Gospel, we see the people coming to judgment, being warned and advised about the nearness of the coming judgment. Something that we, within the Christian church today, sometimes refer to as the second coming of Jesus, when he'll come to judge those of us who remain and also those who have died. Three different perspectives on the people of God. A people who are wayward and straying from God's way. A people who are faithful to God's love. And a people awaiting judgment. And which of those are we, as today's people of God? Now, I'm not going to ask you to vote. I'm certainly not going to ask for a show of hands. But I'd actually like to suggest that perhaps for all of us, there's an element of all three of those different aspects to our lives. Now, you may not like to be likened to the audience of Isaiah, But I'm sure that all of us are aware of, in our own lives, how there's that little bit more, or maybe a big bit more, that we could be doing. That we, no matter how hard we try, no matter how successful we are, we could always do at least a little bit more. We could try a little bit harder in the service of God. Oh, maybe not as wayward as Isaiah's pointing out, turning our backs on God. But we probably could do that little bit more. And in the same way, we probably all display faithfulness to God's way in some aspects of our lives. We probably all do the sort of things that caused Paul to give those thanks to the Corinthians. Maybe not all the time, but at least some of the time. And in many ways, in dealing with our weaknesses, our failings, perhaps looking at our lives and seeing what we do for God, we can see how we do have the opportunity to do more. We do have the opportunity to put right those wrongs. We do have the ability to grow nearer and nearer to God. And reading Paul's letter, we see many examples of how he thought the Corinthians could do better. And perhaps some of those we might take to heart. And then finally, anticipating the second coming. Advent is not only a time of preparation for the birth of Jesus. It's not only a time to prepare for Bethlehem. It is also a time in which we seek to prepare for Christ coming again in judgment. As many of the Advent hymns express so much more clearly than I could, that we do await the return of Jesus. And we need to be prepared. As Mark warned those early Christians to whom he was writing, we need to be prepared every day, every hour, living every moment for God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.